Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, it's a knock on the door no family ever wants to get. But the reality is, far too many families in recent years have experienced road fatalities, and it's often left to Gardaí to inform families that their loved one has died. Well, some Gardaí say it's not something you ever get used to doing, while families have said the approach and sensitivity of Gardaí has helped them in their early grief. Let's have a listen to Ralph Mills, who was on this show in August to talk about his daughter, Ella, who died tragically in a kayaking accident near Washington. Ralph spoke about that moment when Gardaí came to his door.
About 4 o'clock in the morning, Joanne gets a phone call from Clontarf Garda Station. We're going to send a couple of officers around. First asked, are you Ella Mills's mother?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to send a couple of guards around who want to talk to you. And at that point, you know, there was no doubt in our minds that we'd lost her.
Mm-hmm. And when the Gardaí came, is that what you were told at that point?
Yes, we had an appalling sort of probably only 10 minutes wait, but it sounded like a lifetime. And I ran out to meet the car and they wouldn't say anything till we got in the house. And they were absolutely lovely. It devastated them to have to break the news.
It's a terrible thing for them to have to
do.
And that's the moment when your life changed.
Yes. They stayed as long as we wanted them to. They weren't going to leave us till we said. And then we just sort of looked at each other and thought, right, we have to go upstairs and tell her siblings about this. We have to just knock the bottom out of their world.
That was Ralph Mills talking about his daughter, Ella. And I'm joined now by our reporter, Brian O'Connell. And Brian, you, when you heard that interview, you were struck by that moment too.
Well, it was a powerful interview, but I think what struck me was how thoughtful Ralph was about that moment when Gardaí had to make that journey to his home to deliver what was obviously devastating news about his daughter, Ella. And it's something you hear from families, is how sensitively Gardaí handle those moments, and when they go above and beyond, when they have to interrupt essentially someone's life to tell them something really tragic has happened. So I spoke to Gardaí and families about having to do this, about what has helped them in those moments, and whether receiving or giving traumatic news, what has really helped in those early moments.
Now, you got some really honest thoughts from one guard, the sergeant, which we'll hear, but you began by speaking to the parent of a road traffic victim.
Donna Price is founder and chair of the Irish Road Victims Association. Her 18-year-old son, Darren, was killed on his way to college in 2006. In her case, Claire, Gardaí had to inform her by phone because word was spreading locally and they wanted to make sure she didn't hear it from someone else. They went to meet her. They stayed with her after they phoned her for some time afterwards. So Donna told me about that moment when she got the phone call.
It's every parent's worst nightmare to get that call, as I did, from the Gardaí to tell them that their loved one has been killed. I remember myself, I was en route to Dublin. I just remember getting that call, you know, and thinking, what did the Gardaí want me for? You know, and knowing it must have been something awful.
In your case, the Gardaí phoned you because they didn't want you hearing about it locally.
That's right. They phoned me, I think, about 10:30 in the morning. Darren had been killed. My son Darren had been killed at 8:10 that morning. On the phone, they just asked me where I was and asked me to pull in the car. When I did finally pull in, they just said, called out my son's name and his date of birth and confirmed that it was my son, and told me that he had been involved in a fatal collision with a HGV in the village of Kilbeggan. As you might imagine, your whole world, absolutely, if you're as a parent yourself, Brian, your whole world just tumbles down around you and you really are numbed, shocked. But the Gardaí at the time were really wonderful, I have to say, and they have an awful job to do. There is no nice way of imparting that news to any parent or any family.
I would imagine at that moment, there isn't really anything anyone can say to try and lessen the blow.
No, but they were fantastic, I have to say. I had a couple of Gardaí walk around from Kilmainham Station down to that corner at in Kilmainham where I had turned off the N4. And they took me around to the Garda station and made me a cup of sweetened tea and, you know, just were trying to console me, I suppose. And then they drove from there. They brought me and my car down to Kilcock to meet the Gardaí from Mullingar, who then took my car and brought me home to my house here.
And that's Donna Price's awful experience, but made a little bit easier by the Gardaí who helped her so much on that day. I said earlier, Brian, that you spoke to a Garda sergeant who's had to do this more than once during his own career.
Exactly. I spoke with Tony Miniter. He's a sergeant with the Road Policing Unit in Limerick. He's in the force a long time. He's had to call to families more than once to tell them a loved one has died, and it's not something you can ever fully prepare yourself for, as he told me.
There's no specific training for us. And I would agree with that because there's too many variables in relation to trying to break that news. Now, it's never forced upon any guard that you have to. Generally, you may get somebody that may volunteer to do it. But there's no training in the world that can prepare you for what is ultimately breaking that news to somebody and destroying their lives. Personally, I've had to do it 5 different times. And each one of them definitely leaves a scar on you. You're left changed after each and every time you do it.
And you have to be present, don't you, when you're walking in, when you're knocking on the door, or when you're walking into someone's house. You have to be emotionally present. You have to give of yourself, I'd imagine, in that moment. You can't just be cold, deliver the news and walk away. I mean, that's not how it works.
Personally, I've carried an awful lot of my own life experience into breaking that news. It's not something that I've specifically learned in An Garda Síochána. Now, in fairness to our job, it has come on leaps and bounds over the last number of years in relation to peer support and welfare support. The people that you work with on a daily basis are your biggest supporters.
Can you remember the first time you had to do it, Tony, and what struck you about it afterwards? Or I'd imagine there are moments that you can never leave you, really.
No, look, they don't. As I said, I've had to do it on 5 different occasions, and each one of them I can remember. One of the first times it was breaking the news to a woman who had already lost a son because of a road traffic collision, and now her partner was killed. It's devastating. The best way I can describe it, it's a bit like reaching deep inside somebody's body and grabbing their heart and their soul, and you literally are ripping it out from them with one sentence. I'm sorry, but your son has been killed in a road traffic collision. When you say those words, the person each time just kind of looks at you in disbelief, knowing, no, that can't be true. Generally speaking, you have to say it a second time and may even have to say it a third time so that those words sink in. And then it's just, you destroy somebody. I do a lot of road safety presentations, and it's a word that I use quite a lot, is destruction. You destroy somebody's life.
How does that change you then, Tony? Because I'd imagine, I don't know if you're a family man, but I can imagine if you go home that night and you're seeing your children or you're seeing your partner, it must change how you look upon the people around you.
I'm very lucky with the family that I have. I have 2 sons and a daughter and a wife that we have. We'd be a very close-knit family. And it does motivate you to kind of keep them close and keep them safe. But the other side of things, what it does is, having broken that news 5 different times, is it motivates you to do everything you can to keep our roads safe.
Sergeant Tony Miniter there, Brian. Now, in terms of how best to deliver this kind of news, and Tony said to you, there's no specific training for this because the circumstances change so much, but you did get the thoughts of one expert in this area.
I spoke with Dr. Mally Coyne, who's a clinical psychologist and author, and she outlined, I suppose, best practice in this area, but also how we're much more conscious, as Tony said, of ensuring supports are in place, not just for families, but for frontline staff who have to deliver the most traumatic of news. This is some of what Dr. Coyne told me.
I think it's such a difficult thing for a guard to have to do, or anybody who has to deliver such devastating news, because anybody with empathy would realize that you know, what you're about to do is going to change the family's life forever. It's important that it's done in person, face to face, and you ask to come inside and sit down if you can, because, you know, to do it on the doorstep, I wouldn't imagine. I know we see that in the movies, but I don't think that's actually, you know, you kind of want to make sure they're in a safe environment. You might feel like this need to or want to dance around it and say, go through the motions of what happened. You know, they went out and then this happened, and this happened. But really, what is, I think, best practice is to just say it. And I'm really sorry to say, but this person has died or was killed, and use the words and say it.
For the individual who has to deliver that news, who has to walk up to someone's door and break their hearts, essentially, I would imagine it would be important that there would be supports in place for them as well, long after the event.
I think there is a lot more awareness of the impact of delivering bad news for guards and medics, because when you think of it, medics have to do it all the time as well. You know, they've entered into somebody's house, they have relayed this awful news, and they have been there as a container for the family members' reactions, and then they have to walk out the door and continue on with their jobs and go home to their own families. And maybe this has triggered something for them in terms of family member has died of theirs, or, you know, we as humans, generally we see commonalities with other people's experiences. And, you know, that quote, I don't know who said it, but it was like, you're not going to remember what somebody said, but you're going to remember how they made you feel.
And that is Dr. Mally Coyne there. And Brian, all of this comes in the context of rising road death statistics, very unfortunately.
Yes, last year, for example, worst year for road deaths in nearly a decade, 188 deaths. This year, I think we're over 130. So that number, unfortunately, is expected to rise. It may surpass last year. So I suppose behind all those statistics, and we hear them every month and every year, there are stories like the ones we've heard of huge trauma, huge heartache, some of which is never really fully resolved.
Brian, thank you very much for bringing us that. And our thoughts are with Ralph Mills, who we heard there at the beginning, and Donna Price, and everyone who's had that knock on the door. And of course, the Gardaí and the others, the medics and other frontline staff who've had to deliver the news.